Isaiah 38. Let's just get on it and get in this. This is the healing of Hezekiah. And we're going to, I don't know, you know, that it'll be service after service. In fact, I'm pretty sure it won't be. We're going to do over a period of maybe all next year, we'll just see, from time to time, do a service on lessons in healing and take accounts of healing in the Bible and see what we can learn from them. You know, if it worked for them, it'll work for us. And so we've got an account here of Hezekiah being healed. And the Bible says that the things that are written for our learning and for our admonition. These aren't just nice stories. They're actually training and teaching us in the way God does things. So we want to learn and take on His way of thinking and receive from Him on these things, because it's no use being sick whenever healing is provided for us. Amen. Amen. So let's read this. This is a lesson in healing, and we're talking about Hezekiah. Now, Isaiah 38 is one account of his healing. Let's read the whole chapter. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amaz, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. How many of you know it's one thing for the doctor to say you're going to die? It's another thing for God to say you're going to die. So Hezekiah turned his face towards the wall and prayed unto the Lord. I mean, that's a good thing to do. And said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Now, we can see later why he was weeping. He wasn't just, you know, I'm in such a bad condition, you know, I'm sorry for myself. This wasn't tears of, you know, pity party. We'll see later he was actually repenting of some things. And so, verse 4, then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah. Now, if you read in the other account, there's an account over in 2 Kings, I believe. I'd have to look it up. I'm not real sure right now. But anyway, where the Bible talks about this same story, gives us the same story, and it tells us that there where it says the word of the Lord came unto Isaiah saying, Isaiah didn't even get out of the middle courtyard of the palace. So this wasn't 3 days later or something. Then came the word of the Lord unto Isaiah saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. Now, if you read the other account, you'll find that the Bible also said that, in that other account, it told us that he said, I will heal you. He said here, I've seen thy prayer, heard thy prayer, seen thy tears, and I'll add to thy days 15 years. The other account says, I've heard your prayer, and I will heal you, and after 3 days, you'll be able to be strong enough, in other words, to go up to the temple, because he's nigh unto death here. You know, he's not just up walking around saying, man, my hooga mooga hurts. Yeah. You know, how many of you know he's near death. He's bedridden. And the Bible says that he is he's close to death. And the Bible says that he within 3 days over in the other count, within 3 days, he'll be able to be strong enough to go up to the temple. Yeah. And so that's good news. Amen. And the Bible said, verse number 6, I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. Now, there was two things going on. Hezekiah's getting ready to die, and there was an attack coming from a foreign nation. I mean, there's a lot of bad stuff coming against them. And so there was going to be deliverance for the city also. This shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord. You might have heard this story in your Sunday school, if you went to Sunday school, that the Lord will do this thing which he has spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees which is gone down on the sundial of Ahaz 10 degrees backwards. By which degree it was gone down. Now, something had to happen. Something major miracle had to happen there. I mean, the earth's rotation had to go backwards or something. Maybe there's another way God did it. I wasn't there. I didn't see how he did it. I mean, you know, but something happened. Yeah. It's a miracle. It's a sign. And so the writing of Hezekiah, now this is later, Hezekiah wrote this down from these verses on. The writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. Now here's what Hezekiah wrote later. I said, in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. Now, this is what Hezekiah thought before he set himself to pray about this thing. So these things all weren't true. This is what he thought. You understand what's happening here? He said, this is verse 11, I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord, in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. In other words, he thought he was going to die. He didn't think he was going to live out his days. Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. How many of you know a tent's a movable thing and, you know, can just be gone. Somebody pick it up and move it. And he said, I thought my life was going to be snuffed out like that. And he said, I have cut off like a weaver, my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness from day even to night. Wilt thou make an end of me? In other words, when a weaver, you know, on a loom or whatever, is making a garment or a rug or something, he's pushing that thing through and pushing, you know, he's doing all that stuff. And then whenever he's made the thing, he cuts all those threads off.
Right.
And that's what he said. I thought that's what was going to happen to me. I'm just going to be cut off and I'm done, you know.
Yeah.
Can you see what he's saying? I reckon till morning that as a lion, so shall he break all my bones from day even to night. Wilt thou make an end of me like a crane or a swallow? So did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. In other words, he's crying. My eyes fail with looking upward, O Lord. I am oppressed. Undertake for me. Now, there's a whole lot going on here. We're going to come back to that. I want you to notice there, he asked in verse 14, undertake for me. In other words, he asked for God to divinely intervene in this situation. So we'll get to that. There's a whole lot we'll come back to. I just want to read the whole thing so that you can remember that it was in there. Then said I, verse 15, then shall I say, what shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me and himself hath done it. Now this is after his healing, after the prophet had come in. He said, God spoke to me through the prophet and himself hath done it. In other words, he healed me. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
I shall go softly in all my years in the bitterness of my soul. In other words, how many of you know after you are healed, you want to live kind of reverently?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? We'll come back to that as well. Verse number 16, O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. Oh, my, my, my. Oh, my, my, my. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness. But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit. That's the pit of corruption. That's the grave. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Now notice that. Notice that. I want you to see he's forgiven of some things. That was part of what he was praying about. We'll get to that too. There's a whole lot we got to get to. For the grave cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit, that's the grave, in other words, for the grave, cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee. In other words, people that are still alive on this earth. As I do this day, the father to the children shall make known thy truth. In other words, you can only do that if you're alive to help your kids see what God said. The Lord was ready. Now, this is very key. The Lord was ready to save me. Now, that means heal me. The Lord was ready. I want you to pay attention to that. Underline that. Don't let that get away from you. The Lord was ready to do this the whole time. Before Hezekiah was born, God called himself Jehovah Rapha.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
And he was ready and willing this whole time. The Lord, after he got out on the other side of this, he realized, wait a minute, that whole time God was ready to heal me. But I almost died. In other words, I almost died, but I didn't have to. And thank God he didn't, because of some things we'll get to. The Lord was ready to save or heal me. Therefore, we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. For Isaiah had said, let them make a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. Hezekiah also had said, what is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord? Talking about, because that's that sign about the sun thou going backwards, you know. And so there's more information in that about all that in the other account. Let's study this a little bit tonight. How many of you know if it worked for him? Let's study and see if we can learn anything. Praise God. So now some of these things are recorded in this passage are just Hezekiah's thinking. This is what he thought was going to happen. You can see some of the things, verse 10 on down through there, some of the things he's just saying, I thought I was going to die. He thought that. But they weren't really so. Amen. He thought that before the prophet came in and ministered to him, and before this whole prayer time where he turned his face to the wall and prayed this thing out and talked this over with God. Amen. Are you out there? We know that's true because, and really, somebody said, people read this account and they say, well, God changed his mind. Really, God didn't change his mind. Hezekiah made some changes. Hezekiah made some changes. Amen. And so he had a completely different perspective after, he was healed, or after he had this prayer time. He got that revelation in that prayer time. He didn't even get it from, the prophet came back in and said that he was going to live another 15 years. But he actually found that out before, maybe not the 15-year part, but he got some things about he didn't have to die in that prayer time, and we'll prove it here in a few minutes. Now, he said he had this completely different perspective at the end of this prayer time that God the whole time was ready to heal him. You got to get that. Don't ever let that get past you when you read this account. It looks like God changed his mind. But the whole time. Tell your neighbor, the whole time. Amen. Now, I want you to see there from verse number 17 that there was some sin that God, sins actually it says, that God cast behind his back. In other words, God forgave him of some things. In other words, there were some reasons Hezekiah was dying. Yeah. There were causes. Yeah. Ever read that in the New Testament? Yeah. Amen. So, how many of you know, though, before we get into that, how many of you know all this that he had said, I'm deprived of the residue of my years. If you look up the word residue, it means the end of his days, all the rest of his days. It's talking about the fullness of long life. I didn't think I was going to live out the full days of my life. I didn't think I was going to have a long life. I thought I was going to be cut off young. But how many of you know God had already said in his word with long life, this is recorded back in the Psalm. David was before Hezekiah, and he wrote down by the Spirit of God, with long life I'll satisfy you and show you my salvation. And it's possible that Hezekiah got to pleading that in this prayer time. We don't have all the details. But how many of you know, we know now that long life is part of our benefit package. And you and I should not just settle for something because somebody, the doctors or anybody, in fact, even God, has said, set your house in order, you're going to die. If it's not long life, don't accept it as his will. Somebody said, well, he spoke it to me. Listen, if it's not in line with the covenant, there is a way you can change that. Because it is never his will any of his children die young. Are you out there? So this word residue, there in verse number 10, he said, I am deprived. He thought he was deprived of the residue of his years. That means in the Hebrew, the remainder or the rest, and it literally means abundance. In other words, long life. I thought I wasn't going to have long life. He's talking about the best that God had for him in long life. There are people that die young, but that's not God's best. And it never was God's will. With long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. Well, I'm not satisfied. Okay, then don't go yet. Are you out there? Hallelujah. So the Bible, you always got to plead your case with what the Bible says. Somebody said, yeah, but God came and said that. But he had also said some other things before this, that long life was his plan. So you can take that to him and say, now, Lord, I know what you said about me dying is not your best. I know you said it under the present circumstances, under the present conditions is going to happen. But what do I need to do to change that? Because you said long life was your will, and I'm not seeing long life here. Isn't that right? And so he's talking this over with God because he had thought until he got in this prayer time that that's what was going to happen. Are you with me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. So there are conditions to long life. Long life, if you read through, I don't know if we've ever really done a study of it, a full study of it. We've done limited study of it. But you read through the Bible, the conditions for long life, and you can see easily why some people don't live long.
Yeah.
It's God's will anyway.
Yes, sir.
Are you out there?
Yes, sir.
Amen? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, one of the things is fulfilling God's plan. You remember that? How many of you know... Brother Hagin said that whenever he was in his early 50s, he said that he had an accident and knocked his elbow out of place. He thought it was broken, but it was just knocking out of place. The Lord spoke to him and said, no, it's just out of place, and doctors confirmed it. And he said, it was not my, God spoke to Brother Hagin. Remember, Jesus walked into the hospital room and sat down and talked to him for an hour and a half. I believe that one was an hour and a half. And said to him, you know, this was not my will. I didn't do this, that you knocked this out. He said to Brother Hagin, he said, because the devil did this. He said, but however, I did permit it. Not because it was my will, but because I saw that if you, because you were out of my perfect will. And he said, I saw that if you were going to continue on the course you were on, you would not have lived past the age of 55. So I took advantage of the opportunity to get your attention. He said, I didn't do it. But the enemy did it. But I am using this to get your attention. He said, because you would not have lived past the age of 55. Folks, we ought to be sober about things like that. That ought to make us sober. Because Brother Hagin said, Jesus sat there and said, now you've been in my permissive will for 2 years because you've not been putting the right ministry office first. Well, that's for a minister. How many of you know there are things in our life as believers we have to obey God in just as much as ministers have to obey God in? And it can start affecting us if we're not obedient to God. No, God doesn't bring it. He's not smacking us with sickness, but it does open the door to the enemy. And you remember the Bible said there's a thing called good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I want the perfect. If I'm going to have the perfect will of God, which is long life and divine, not just divine health, but divine healing. I mean, excuse me, not just divine healing, but divine health. If I want God's best, I have to fulfill the perfect will of God. That ought to be important to us. That ought to be real, real, real sobering to us. That when God speaks, we don't just put it aside and act like it's not important. It's huge importance. Are you out there? Amen. Now, during this time of Hezekiah, notice how it said there, verse number 2, he turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. We're going to get into that more later. But during this time of turning his face toward the wall and praying, he realized, according to Isaiah, this same chapter here, verse number 12, he realized that it wasn't God cutting his life off, it was he himself. Look at verse 12. Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. God wasn't doing it. He said, I thought it was God, but I realized it was me doing it. I have cut my life short. In that prayer time, he got the revelation, I have cut my life short. You understand what I'm talking about? You know, there's a lot of situations that people could be healed. You with me? But they'll die. For various reasons. Now, any believer who dies young, dies prematurely, will do so for one of three reasons. Number one, they don't know their rights and privileges and how that they're redeemed from sickness and disease. How many of you know you can't have faith for something you don't have knowledge of? You have to have knowledge of the will of God for you to have faith for it. Now, I know this is simple, but hold on. You're going to get some things out of this. Number two, a lack of faith. You can know something is God's will, but you lack the faith. Well, keep building it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Number three, reason Christians can be sick and die prematurely, because how many of you know healing is in our covenant? Long life is in our covenant. It's not God's will. Something is on our end. And number three reason is what probably Hezekiah was in, is because that he was in disobedience. So those are one of the three reasons. Every person that dies young and doesn't get God's best, whether it's you or me. So we're not talking about people. We're talking about Bible issues, about how to live in health, how to live in the best God has for us, how to live long and be healed and healthy.
Yes. Amen.
And so it's either a lack of knowledge, a lack of faith, or disobedience.
Amen.
Every situation will fall into one of those categories. I've ministered to all three kinds. Amen. So, during this time of turning his face to the wall, he realized it was him that had cut his life off. He was the reason he was dying young and on his deathbed. That's what verse 12 said. I. He didn't say God, he said I. Why? Because God, did you see verse number 17? No, not verse 17. Verse 20. The Lord was ready to heal me. The whole time God was ready to do it. All along. Because when Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and tuned everything out, got real with God, immediately God spoke to him and said, I've heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. And God told Isaiah, go back, tell him I'm going to add 15 years. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
The whole time. The whole time God was ready. The whole time God was Jehovah Jireh.
Yes,
amen. Amen. We have to get that real established before we go any further tonight. He was that from the beginning.
Yes.
He was that before Hezekiah was born.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
Amen. The whole time. But when Hezekiah made the adjustments necessary, the Lord was just simply acting out who he was. He was acting in character. God is so much a healer that he made it one of his names. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. That's who he is. I said that's who he is. It's his will. There's so much of his character, he said, I'm just going to name myself that. His character never changes. He was acting in character when he healed Hezekiah. But he was the healer before Hezekiah ever asked or ever asked God to intervene. Amen. Amen. Are you with me tonight? He never will change. It was Hezekiah that changed. God didn't change. God didn't change from being the one who makes sick to the one who heals. He was the one who heals whenever Hezekiah started to get sick.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, from verse number 17, his weeping was repenting of some things. Verse 17 says, he's cast all my sin behind his back. Isn't that right? Now, we're not told in the scriptures, in this passage of scripture, what that sin was. The Bible doesn't see fit to point it out. Sometimes the Bible sees fit to point things out. I mean, in full black ink, we have the record of David's sin with Bathsheba. God just, how many of you know, the Bible doesn't hide people's failures. I think God wants us to know that he can use people who have failed. But in this case, God didn't see fit to tell us what the sin was. Amen. There are times in the Bible God will openly say so say what it was. But there are times that he will not. And this is one of those times he did not. Now, you read 1 Timothy 3:24 and 25, you'll find out some things about that. I'll go over there. You can go with me if you want. Got to move fast, though. 1 Timothy chapter 3, 24 and 25. It says, I think I'm something's wrong here. I wrote down something wrong. Might be 2 Timothy. Let me see if I wrote that down wrong. Where did it go? Okay, it's chapter 5. 1 Timothy 5, 24 and 25. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. Are you listening? And some men's they follow after. Likewise, also, the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. What on earth is he talking about? Let me explain it in good, you know, modern English. Sometimes it comes out and everybody finds out about it down here in this life, and they get their punishment down here. Sometimes it doesn't come out, but God will deal with it at the judgment seat of Christ. Whether it's sin or whether it's good works. Verse 25 is talking about good works. But just know, God will bring every sin into judgment. Ecclesiastes says that in chapter 12, verse number 14. Every sin will be brought into judgment. Some people say, well, I got away with that. No, honey, you got to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Hello? Well, I don't understand. I mean, they're just living it up. I wouldn't be able to do that. I'd get in trouble. Well, don't think they're getting away with it. I don't know what's going on in your heart and mind, but you're not amening a whole lot. So, amen. He's going to bring every sin. He's going to deal with everything. Everybody. Everybody. Are you with me? And somebody said, well, why is God not dealing with it down here? I don't know. I'm not the judge. I'm leaving it alone. It's God's deal, not mine. It's not my deal to bring out. We talked about last Wednesday night. Well, I believe everybody ought to know it. Wait, watch out. Watch it. That's bad seed right there. Apparently, Hezekiah had been going on without judging himself. Let's back up. Remember, Ecclesiastes 12:14 says, God will bring every sin into judgment. Well, how many of you know there is one way out of that? It's called 1 Corinthians 11:30 through 32. We judge ourselves, will not be judged. Apparently, Hezekiah is not dealing with some things in his life. Now, you read his story, you read the account of Hezekiah, you'll find a couple of times God dealt with him about pride. It's possible that's what was going on here. I don't know. I wouldn't be dogmatic about it, but it's possible that there was something like that going on. And so Hezekiah must not have been dealing with it. God had dealt with him about it a couple of times. But Hezekiah wasn't dealing with it, apparently. And so somehow or another, though, this message from the prophet got his attention. And he began to pray. Because before that, I mean, you could think, well, I think I'm going to die here, because he'd been talking about it. I think I'm going to die. But he wasn't knowing. But when God came on the scene and said, uh-huh, that's what's going to happen here. But that didn't mean it was God's will. It was God saying, under the circumstances, that's what's going to happen. Whoa, that got his attention. I can't just act like, well, you know, I don't know for sure here yet. Now I know God sent the prophet. Amen. Amen. And so I'm going to pray. But how many of you know the prayer he prayed, if we study it closely, was not the prayer of faith? See, we're looking through and learning some things about healing. Are you with me? This is the prayer of supplication found in the Bible. Now, I don't think a lot of people in our circles know much about the prayer of supplication. To be honest with you, that's what I've been emphasizing. Of course, that'll bring you to the prayer of faith if you follow the prayer of supplication to its end. You'll come into the prayer of faith. But how God has led me in this situation I'm believing God for is the prayer of supplication.
Yes, sir.
And I've been talking things over with God. I haven't been just, Father, I'm going to believe I receive. I went to do that, and it just, I just knew I wasn't making my connection.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you know what that means to know you're not making your connection. People hear that, and just because they don't see it immediately, they think, look, I haven't made my connection. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something in here.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about looking to see if something changed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I started talking some things over with God. And I'm going to have to tell you some stories tonight that I'd rather not talk about. I'd rather talk about you rather than me. But to illustrate some things, I'm going to tell you some stories. And so Hezekiah's not praying the prayer of faith. He's praying the prayer of supplication. Thank you for finally coming to the service and helping me out. But I don't think there's a lot of folks in our circles that know much about the prayer of supplication. They've heard the prayer of faith, and rightly so. We need to keep teaching on that. But we need to pray with all manner of prayer. And listen, if we don't learn to pray with all manner of prayer, there'll be some things we'll be doing without, because that will be the way we're going to get into it.
Yeah, that's right.
Y'all still with me? In our circles, if people do practice the prayer of supplication, too often, because of a lack of knowledge of the word, they get into unbelief with it. I don't know if you can understand that or not. But the prayer of supplication is not the prayer of faith, but it should be and has to be prayed in faith.
Yes.
Now, you might say, I don't understand. Well, James chapter number 5, verse 14, the prayer of faith shall save or heal the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Isn't that right? But you keep reading there, and you find verse number 16. It says, the effectual fervent, King James says, I'll quote the Amplified, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. And the word prayer there is a different word than prayer in James 5:14. It's the word supplication. Translated all through the New Testament, supplication.
Yeah.
So there's the prayer of faith for healing, and there's the prayer of supplication for healing. And the prayer of supplication can be prayed for yourself. It can be prayed for other people, mostly Christians. And so I'm going to say some things tonight about this that you might not understand right at the moment, but don't throw it away if you don't understand it. There are times in your life that the prayer of faith will not work. Oh, whoa, no, Pastor, no, no, ah, no, I got to go to another church now. Ah! Listen to the way I said it. There are times in your life that the prayer of faith won't work. I didn't say it couldn't. It could, but it won't. Amen. In other words, there's times there's things hindering your faith. Mark 11:25 talks about it. Mark 11:24, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive and you'll have them. That's great. Jump on that and pray that if you can. But if verse number 25 is not in line, that will hinder that prayer.
Yes. Yeah.
There are times the prayer of faith won't work. Now, I didn't say there are times faith doesn't work. I'm saying there's times it won't work for you in the circumstances that you're in. Hezekiah was in one of those circumstances. Amen. I don't know if you're hearing this or you're getting kind of quiet. 1 Peter 3:7 is another time the prayer of faith won't work. Husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife's weaker vessels, being heirs together of the grace of life, lest your prayers be hindered. The prayer of faith can be hindered. Are you there? You need to recognize when you're not making your connection. Now, I hesitate to say that, because the devil will jump on your shoulder and say, you haven't made your connection. Don't let the devil tell you this. Let this in here, the Spirit of God, the inner witness. You know. How many of you know if somebody hands you something and you grab onto it, there's a tangibility to that if they hand you your Bible and something natural. But there's also a tangibility of when you get a hold of something spiritually.
Yeah.
The Bible said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold.
That's right.
On eternal life. When you lay hold of something, there's a tangibility. You should be aware, I got it.
Yeah.
And I went to prayer for my healing, and I knew I didn't get it. Not because I looked to see my body, to see if the pain left, because I knew in here. Oh, hear this. If you don't understand it now, don't throw it away. You need to recognize when you're not making your connection. When you get to these places in life, turn your face to the wall and start praying a different kind of prayer. Are you there? I'm not preaching against persevering in faith. There's a perseverance to faith. And when you lay hold, you got to persevere. But I'm talking about when you're not making your connection. I'm just saying when it's not working, do something different. Pray the prayer of supplication. Learn to plead your case with God. But know, because how many of you know the Bible said in Isaiah, come, let us plead together.
Yes, that's right.
Are you with me tonight? Come, let us plead together. Verse number, this is Isaiah 43, verse number 25 and 26. Put me in remembrance, declare thou. Come, let us plead together. So, know when you come to plead your case, you have to understand that he will also plead his case. But you and I need to understand that we have been invited, been given a royal invitation to come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain. Let's put it this way. Come boldly to the throne of grace and talk these things over with God. He's an intelligent being. You're an intelligent being. And he will communicate with you. Believe that if you call, he will answer. Believe that if you ask for direction and ask for what's going on, that he'll talk to you.
Yes.
You have to come with sincerity.
Yes.
You have to come with humility.
Yes.
You have to come in faith.
Amen.
Now get those three things. Don't let that get by you. Write that down. This kind of prayer has to be done in sincerity. In other words, no shucking and jiving. Don't act like something that's not so. The Bible said in the book of Job, I wish I had time to get into all this, but the Bible said he will not regard vanity. That means just empty chatter out of your head that's not sincere out of your heart. He won't regard vanity. And you got to come with sincerity. You've got to come with humility. Because without humility, God can give you your answer, but you're like, no, Lord, I and argue with him. And you've got to come with faith. Are you there? So you got to learn to plead your case. When Hezekiah tuned everything else out and set himself to pray about his predicament, he realized in that situation that he had done it to himself. And he realized that if he changed that, he could change the outcome. And he realized that the message the prophet gave, set your house in order, you're surely going to die, was conditional. Are you there? And that he could change it. Amen? And he did. Proof positive that you can change these things. God didn't change. God was ready to heal him from the beginning. Jehovah Rapha from the beginning. Hezekiah changed and met the conditions in order to have God's best. Hezekiah was a good king. You read the story of his leadership in Israel. He was a good king. And he actually pled that in the, He pled that verse number 3. He pled that he had been obedient in all these other things. But the things that God dealt with him was still outstanding and had not been dealt with by Hezekiah. Are you with me?
Yes,
sir. See, the further you and I walk with God, the less leeway we have.
Yeah,
and so God was ready to heal him from the beginning, but Hezekiah made the changes, met the conditions for living in God's best. Well, what was God's best? Long life. He made some changes so he didn't just have the good or the acceptable, but he got God's best. Amen?
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Praise God. I'm helping myself tonight. So he realized that under the circumstances, yes, he would die, but he also realized he could live. God was dealing with him about it. And it didn't have to be the way it was going. He could get a different outcome. Oh, glory to God. Do you believe that for yourself? It doesn't have to be the way it's going. It can be a different outcome. You can look in the Word and say, it doesn't have to be. Because look what he said. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. I ought to be, like Jesus said to that woman, this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, ought to be healed. It doesn't have to be this way. But see, am I willing to find out why it's not? Somebody say, I don't know, it's just hard to get all those answers. I'll tell you what's harder is living under something less than. And living in disobedience where the devil's beating you up. The way of the transgressor's heart. Don't talk about this being hard, the way of the transgressor's heart. Amen. So Hezekiah realized, I can get a different outcome, but I'm going to have to change course. Amen. If he stayed on the course of life he was on, his life would be cut short by the enemy because he was only in the permissive will of God. Brother Hagin talked about it. The Lord spoke to him about it. And the Lord's speaking to some of us about it tonight. So what was happening here is 1 Corinthians 11:31. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. When it comes to believers, when it comes to Christians, this is oftentimes a issue concerning their healing. Now, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, so I'm talking to myself as well as you. So don't take it like I'm preaching down at you. Amen. So this is oftentimes the issue. Hezekiah, in this prayer time, found out what was going on and what God was talking to his heart about. And I'm going to get to how he did that. But when he realized what was going on, he judged himself. I said he judged himself. Hallelujah. Can you do that? What does it mean to judge yourself? It means to look at things square in the eyes and say, that's ugly, but it's me. And it's over. I'm quitting that. I'm repenting. Lord, forgive me. And Hezekiah was sincere. How many of you know those tears? Kings don't weep. But he's doing this even with his aides around. It didn't say he kicked his aides out. He said he turned away from them and looked to the wall. So they're all there still doing whatever they're doing. But he's weeping in prayer, calling out to God. Kings don't do that. They're too proud to be, you know, be seen weeping. And crying out with a cry of humility and sincerity. Help me. How many of you know that he did it, though? Amen. And in the light of what God dealt with him about, he changed his course. He adjusted direction the way he was going. And God spoke to him again. All right. All right. All right. I see you're correcting this. I see your prayer. I see your tears. Those are tears of repentance from what we see from verse number 17. He's cast all my sin behind that back, his back. He said, I see it. I'm going to add 15 years. Somebody said, God changed. No, Hezekiah changed. Say it out loud. Hezekiah changed. Amen. As I said, he was Jehovah Rapha the whole time. This is Matthew 13:15. My people, which are called by my name, humble themselves and pray. That's the Old Testament. But Matthew 13:15 says that this people's ears are waxed, they're dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed. Remember, their hearts are waxed gross, thick, and lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, be converted, and I would heal them. It's a different kind of healing. It's a different way to receive healing. But some cases, this is the only way we're going to receive. We can't go on faking a prayer of faith whenever something's bothering our conscience. Amen. Listen, it depends how you got into it that determines how you get out. Listen, there is always a cause. It might not be sin. It might just be a lack of knowledge. It might be a lack of faith. But there's always a cause. And you might not be able to make the change. You might not be able to always get other people healed. But you can always get healed yourself. Always. Always. Every single time. You yourself never have to do without. It is always His will. He's always compassionate. He's always Jehovah Rapha. He's always ready to heal. But he needs us, our cooperation. Amen. The Bible says he's full. Remember the definition of compassion? He's full of eager yearning. Hallelujah. I like that. Now, Psalm 55:19, the last part of the verse. Psalm 55:19, I'm going a little fast because I want to get to some things. Psalm 55:19, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. Talking about people who won't make any changes. Reverence for God means you're willing to make changes. The fear of God means reverence. It doesn't mean afraid like a rattlesnake. And so he said they have no changes. Changes refers to changing course or changing the course of actions. Well, how do you find that out? Psalm 77:13. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as your as our God? Way means, in the Hebrew, same thing, course of life or mode of action. In other words, your course for my life, your mode for my action is found, he called it here, in the sanctuary. Now, that's another word for in his presence. The Old Testament had a place where the presence of God was, in a building. We have the presence of God living on the inside of us. But we can get in prayer into and tune everything out and get into his, become aware of his presence and actually find out which course of life we must take in order to receive our healing.
Amen.
Can you do it?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, one of the big keys is doing what Hezekiah did. It didn't just say he prayed. Listen very carefully. We're getting into some of the things we need to say tonight. It didn't just say Hezekiah prayed. It says Hezekiah turned his face to the wall. Isn't that right? Verse number 2? Isn't that right? He turned his face to the wall. Now, why did the Bible see fit to put that in there? Because if you're going to seek God and get into his presence and get some answers, you're going to have to do like this, turn your face to the wall. Now, let me ask you a question. When you look at the wall, just a blank wall, what do you see? Nothing of any interest or that's going to hold your attention. Isn't that right? Are you there? So he added that important aspect about what Hezekiah did. He turned his face to the wall and prayed. And his prayer life, the way he did this is something we've got to understand about our prayer life. Are you with me tonight? Some of you are really quiet. I think it's just sinking in real good, huh? We've got to turn our attention away from the pain, the doctor's report, the circumstances, what our minds think. We got to shut our mind down and find out what he has to say to us. And that includes a prayer, but there's much more to it than just prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. So he got his attention completely off everything in the natural realm. And when he was looking at the wall, he saw nothing in the natural realm. But we could say what he was doing was he was looking at God.
Yeah.
Because there was nothing in the he got his attention and his mind and his eyes off everything in the natural realm to where he only saw God. See, facing the wall is symbolic. It speaks of turning your attention away from your circumstances and setting your attention on the one who can help you. You and I have got to use faith in different areas. And one way we're to use faith is Hebrews 11:6. He said, faith believes that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He's a rewarder of those that seek him. You got to believe that if you ask him and seek for your answer, he will give it to you. He will give it to you. He's good. He doesn't want you to get it when you get to heaven. He didn't want Hezekiah to die young. Of course, he didn't go to heaven. He went to, you know, Abraham's bosom, you understand.
Right.
But he didn't want us today to die young, go to heaven.
Yeah.
and find out what we could have known on earth that would have saved our life. He'll tell us in heaven. Remember, Brother Hagin went up whenever he had that experience. His sister died. And the Bible tells us there's some indication of this in the book of Hebrews chapter number 11. We won't get into all that. But when his sister died, the Bible, Brother Hagin said that he had an experience after the funeral. He was caught up to heaven and he walked up to Jesus talking to his sister. And his sister's back was to him whenever he walked up. And whenever he walked up, Jesus turned his attention to Brother Hagin, and his sister saw that Jesus had turned his attention to somebody, and she turned around and saw Brother Hagin, and she said, "Oh, Brother Hagin," or Kenneth, I think she called him Kenneth, "don't feel bad that you couldn't pray the prayer of faith for me. There was a reason." That's what Jesus and her were talking over right there. He'll tell you when you get to heaven, but you don't have to wait till you get to heaven. You can believe that if you'll call and seek, he'll answer. You need to believe that if you knock, it'll be opened. Seek, you'll find. Ask, you'll receive. Call, he'll answer. Reach up, he'll reach down. You got to believe that and not quit. You got to believe that if you need wisdom, you can ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. It'll be given to him. You got to believe that. Believe there's answers. Real answers that fix it for good. Do you believe it? That means you'll get in the closet and you'll get in the prayer closet and you'll get in the carpet and you'll get sincere and you won't give up after 5 minutes and you'll stay with it and you'll stay with it tomorrow. And the next day, until finally you get your mind quiet enough, you get your attention fully on him. Now, it doesn't take God long. It takes us long sometimes. And finally, you get your answer. And whenever you do, you'll go, "Oh." Amen. Hallelujah. Many people fail in prayer because as they pray, their attention is still on their circumstances rather than on God. This is the very issue that needs to be addressed to receive from God. Get your mind, get your attention over on the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Decide not to dwell on the bad report. What you gaze on, you empower. When your attention is on what your attention is on, you empower. You got to stop empowering your circumstances and get your attention on God. Give him the ability to work in your life by turning your face towards God. The reason that what your attention is on, you empower, is because your faith follows your attention. If you put your attention on getting an answer from him, why? I've been living with this for 4 years. Your faith will go towards getting the answer for that. There are answers. You got to believe that. You got to believe. That's what Hebrews 11:6 says. Believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. Do you believe he'll make it worth your while to seek him to get the answer? Now, it's amazing some of the things coming at me. I'm a little mean on unbelief tonight. You've got to stick your face in the faith of God and say, "God, I'm not leaving this place of prayer until I get my answer." Not because he's holding out on you, but because you're finally getting real. Why have I been broke for the last 5 years? There's answers. I don't want to go through my life without my answer. I want my answer. And it's available. Fact. If you'll turn your back to your circumstances and turn your attention completely towards the one who can deliver you, the power of God will move on your situation and make it like it never happened. Fact. I said fact. Somebody said, "My back's against the wall." Your situation won't turn because your back's against the wall. It'll turn because you turn your face to the wall. And when your face is to the wall, your back is to your circumstances. And your face is toward God. Some of you young people, develop a prayer life of finding answers now. I, out of necessity, because my family didn't help me, I had no money but $500 in my pocket, drove halfway across the country to go to Bible school all on my own, didn't have a job. I, out of necessity, developed a prayer life because I need help. And I thank God every day. Some of you got it too easy. Everybody, somebody hands you everything. And you don't know how to seek God and get your answers. It won't go well with you unless you learn. Not mad at anybody. I'm mad on unbelief tonight. Your situation won't turn around until you get to the place you're not accepting anything else but a different outcome than the way it's always been. Amen. Hallelujah. Like I said, when your face is to the wall, your back is to your circumstances. And circumstances turn when you turn your back to your circumstances and turn your gaze to the wall. Or in other words, turn your gaze to God. Amen. You better find your wall. You better find your wall. You got to help a circumstance, you better find your wall. Amen. Hezekiah didn't just hear the doctor say he was going to die. God said he was going to die. But he looked towards God anyway. He must have known he's Jehovah Jireh. I mean Jehovah Rapha. He must have known with long life. See, his father David, just a couple of generations back, had written by the Spirit, with long life, I'll satisfy him. He must have taken that to God and said, I know you said this, God. But this isn't your will. I know it from what my father David wrote by the Spirit of God. And so I'm seeking you. God gave him some answers. And because he didn't accept the prognosis of you're going to die young, because he had the word on it, he persevered till he got the answer. Hallelujah. 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 He also probably read Psalm 145 because David wrote that. You got to realize this is just a couple generations later. And Psalm 145, 8 and 9. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Hallelujah. He must have read that and said, Lord, I know you're compassionate. I know you said this, but you're compassionate. Isn't it to our advantage to know the word? Hallelujah. But you can do all this without humility, and you really won't hear much. It takes humility. Amen. Hallelujah. There are people that are sick because of pride. Because God's dealings are not something they're willing to listen to. They'll go to heaven before their years, all those years that they had available to them in this life. And they didn't really live it out. So they don't get the full fruit of what they could have produced on this earth. Amen. Believers today need to be taught this. They need to be taught they can go to the throne of grace, that they're accepted there. Their prayer will be accepted there. He said in John 6:37, he said, all that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. You need to believe that. You need to take that to prayer. Father, I'm coming to you, and you said you wouldn't cast me out. Guess what? If you won't be cast out, then your prayer won't be cast out. Your request won't be cast out. And if your request won't be cast out, then you won't do without. I said, you won't do without. The first thing might not be the healing that you lay hold of. It might be the answer you need. Like Hezekiah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So believe that you can draw near. Believe that he'll draw near to you. Believe that he'll answer you. I just don't know how to do this. Just do it out of your heart. If you're not saying everything right, just say, Lord, I'm still learning all this. The big thing is the sincerity of heart, the humility of heart, and the faith. Believing that he'll get you there. It might be a process. He might have to teach you this and then this and this. But listen, what's the alternative? It's worth it. Amen. You can't always get it for others, but you can always get it for yourself. Amen. Know that you're accepted in the beloved. Know that you're accepted in His presence and asking. Amen. Know that He'll show, if you call unto Him, He'll show you, He'll answer you and show you great and hidden things which you didn't know. That's in Jeremiah. Amen. Things that might not be conscious of right at the time, but it's keeping you from God's best anyway. But He wants to teach you. I said He wants to teach you. Brother Hagin said one time he talked to God about some things and he said, I'm going to do it just because you asked me. And then he said, "So I want to do so much for so many of my people, but they don't ask me." Let's get to asking. What do you say? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It might be tough to hear some things He's going to say to you. But what's tougher is living in disobedience or living without knowledge and going on and the devil beating you up. Hallelujah. Now, for time's sake, Hezekiah's prayer wasn't cast out, was it? He asked God where he had missed it. He humbled himself. He repented. And he asked God to intervene. Did you see that? Undertake from me, verse number 14. Hallelujah. And so, what did God do? Exactly what Hezekiah asked. Do you believe God answers prayer?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You're going to have to do all this in faith.
Yes.
The devil wants to show you all sorts of things that you're guilty of. And all sorts of reasons. Well, you know, this and this and this. But you've got to learn to recognize the difference between the devil's condemnation and the Spirit of God leading you in these times of prayer. Amen. And to do it in faith means you won't accept the devil's condemnation. Amen. You need to go with Romans 10:11. He that believeth shall not be ashamed. I'm believing for answers. I'm not going to be ashamed here, Lord. You're not going to leave me out in the dark and out in the not knowing why I've been going through this. Are you still out there?
Yes.
Go with Psalm 34:10 in the Amplified. Young lions lack and suffer hunger. They who seek, inquire of, and require the Lord by right of their need and on authority of His word. None of them shall lack any beneficial thing. None of them. I'm one of those.
Yes.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
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 Now, the thing I'm going to finish up with is, the thing I want to talk about is in verse 15 here. He said, what shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me and himself hath done it. In other words, now I'm healed. He's on the other side of this. He's healed. And he said, I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. This is how you receive. What I'm talking about tonight is how you receive your healing. But then this is also what he just said in verse number 15 is how you keep it. Can you handle this a little bit more here? This is how you live after you've received healing by this method. Go softly. That means walk gently. Walk reverently. Walk humbly. Stay open to God. Don't get hard-hearted. Amen. For the rest of your life. Did you hear me?
Yes.
For the rest of your life. Isn't that what he said?
Yeah.
All my years. I said for the rest of your life. Because what God said to get you into that healing applies for the rest of your life. It wasn't a one-time thing. It wasn't a one and done. It was a one and this is how you're going to keep it. I heard a minister say concerning this story. I heard him say, Hezekiah got something we don't have. Hezekiah got a promise of 15 years yet of living guaranteed. And we don't have that guarantee. I hollered right out loud at the audio that was playing. Right out loud I hollered, no he didn't. Are you out there?
Yeah.
That was just as conditional as the first thing God said. First thing he said was, set your house in order, you're going to die.
Yeah.
That was conditional.
Yes, sir.
What was the second thing? I'm going to add 15 years.
Yeah.
Conditional. Conditional. There are many things that are conditional.
Yeah.
A lot of things are up to us, not up to God. Are you still there?
Yes.
He could walk back in his old ways after he was healed, and the old condition would come back on him. Jesus said to one man in the New Testament, sin no more, lest a worse thing come on you. Now, it matters how you walk and where you go after you're healed. You have to stay humble with what he dealt with. I'm talking about this way of healing. Some people get healed by just somebody else laying hands on them, but gifts of the Spirit, they don't know how they got healed. It requires the right thing there too. Don't misunderstand me. But this kind, it really requires walking tenderly. You have to pay particularly close attention to the things that open the door to the devil to begin with. Now this is where I'm going to finish up with this story. I'm going to tell on myself. Amen. I'm going to give you an illustration out of my own life. I'd rather talk about you, but you know. When I started having I'm believing God, and I'm getting some good progress. But it's been a process. Been a lot longer than I thought it should have been. But it's because the Lord had to deal with me about some things. And it took me a while, and I'll tell you why. I'm not. I wish I could talk about you. But I. When I started dealing with this, you know, I go to the Lord because I call him my healer. And he started talking to me about, I said on Sunday, I believe, he started talking to me about humility. And boy, that really ministered to me. And I realized, okay, this isn't just a believe you receive and just go out stomping on it. You know? And so I started doing that. I started, you know, just saying, Lord, without you, I won't receive here. And I started humbling myself because that's the way he started leading me. And the very first thing he said to me after dealing with me about humility. But the very first thing he said to me was reminded me of whenever we remodeled this building, whatever year that was, 2008 or something. I don't remember. 2012, whatever. He reminded me of the fact that when I was coming up here early every day. We lived in Coralville. Coming up here early every day. Can you just give me a few more minutes?
Yes, please.
Coming up here early every day because contractors get started early. And that's good. Don't misunderstand me. But as a result of that, I was getting up, getting ready, getting my breakfast, running out the door, wasn't feeding my spirit. And I got in a routine of that for a couple of weeks. Are you with me? And I woke up one morning after a couple of weeks of that, with such pain, sciatic nerve pain shooting down my leg, I could not get out of bed. So I lay there, started saying, Father, I'm going to believe I receive. And he said, and he started dealing with me. He said, this is what he said to me. He said, it takes more power to walk where you're walking now. That's what he said to me. Now, that might not mean a lot to you, but it speaks. He knew I would understand what he was saying. It spoke volumes to me. I mean, in those words, I could preach for 3 months on what that means. And he started dealing with me about the fact that I had been not feeding my spirit. I had not been staying charged up with the power of God. Through building myself up, I had gotten drained spiritually. And he said, your healing is in you getting charged back up. He said, don't have a shallow idea of healing like so many have, where it's always just believe you receive, lay hands on me and believe I receive. He said, your strong body comes out of a strong spirit. And you got weak in body because you got weak in spirit. And where you're walking now, the devil's looking for opportunities to attack you. And you're going to have to keep strong, keep yourself covered in the power of God. He knew I knew he was not saying, you're going to have to ask me for more power now because the power's already been given. I'm going to have a strong spirit to lay hold of the power. And with a weak spirit, I won't be doing that. And that's exactly what got me in the predicament I was in. See, we have a shallow idea, a very narrow-minded idea of healing so many times. And we could preach that for 3 months. And we have. We've preached things. You understand. I think most of you understand what we're talking about. Anybody still here?
Yes, sir.
So he dealt with me about that. Amen. And so, he dealt with me in these recent days about that. And he said, that's exactly why this came on you this time. He said, you forgot what I said. He said, you in the house build, you were keeping yourself fairly built up, but when it got to the landscaping part, you looked at the calendar, had a schedule, I got to get this done before the snow flies, and you hit it and pushed, and you did the exact same thing. Hello? So this will come. Your healing will come as a result of you getting built back up. Because I said to you, it takes more power to walk where you're walking now. The devil's looking for a way in. I don't know if that makes any sense to you. Amen. Amen. This is one of the first things he dealt with me about. So, what's Pastor been doing? Building himself back up. I mean, I've been neglecting a lot of other stuff. Neglecting a lot of other stuff.
Come on.
And glad to do it.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And as I've been getting stronger in spirit, see, people might look at you and say, well, he looks like he's strong in spirit. Listen, you can't tell by the outward. Nor can you compare to somebody else or compare to yourself? Wherever they're walking is going to require them staying strengthened to a particular degree. And you can't say, well, I don't have to do that to walk where I'm walking. Right, exactly. Still out there? Amen. Amen. Some people are targets of the enemy. So, praise God. Did you learn anything out of this tonight?
Yes.
So, I've been building myself up. I was shocked at how it took me some time to build myself back up. See, you can't just pull faith levers and push faith buttons whenever you're weak spiritually. You can go through the motions, but you're not going to make your connection. So, I've just been building myself up. To a large extent, haven't been really just, you know, confessing healing, although I do. I don't ever confess anything else, you know what I'm talking about. But I've been just focused on doing what he said to me. Now, I didn't know the Lord on the way to the church service tonight. I can take you to the spot where he said it. But on the way to service tonight, he said, you're back. He said, you're back. I wasn't asking him if I was back. He just said, now you're back.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now you watch what will happen now. It'll spring forth speedily.
That's right.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. Amen. Come on. Stand up with me. Stand up with me. This is one of the first nights preaching that I haven't been walking with pain shooting down my leg while I'm preaching. Sunday morning was horrific.
Come on.
That's a good sermon. But I went home in pain.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
I'm not trying to glorify the devil. I'm trying to say this word is true whether it's complimentary to us or not. And it's not that the preacher has an exception. There are no exceptions. We're either going to do the word or we'll do without. That'd be a good bumper sticker. Do the word or do without. Hallelujah!